Good morning again.
Good morning.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. It's been happy so far.
So far.
And we you notice the Christmas decorations are still up. Not my choice. No. I left them up there for a reason, because I haven't finished talking about Advent yet. We've been going through the Advent candles up here, and those Advent candles represent our celebration and our looking forward to the future. And just like today is actually New Year's Day, the beginning of a new segment of time that we're measuring, Advent is, for the 2,000 years, has been a measurement, or the calendar, the church calendar. Advent is what's regulated when certain things are done. So like when we start reading certain scriptures, we do certain things, we practice Lent, we do different things like that. We change the cloths on the altars. I mean, we don't, but some churches do. And so it's laid out in a three-year cycle. And Advent marks the beginning of each of the 3 years when you read the scriptures that are in there and you do follow along with it, mostly in the Catholic tradition. And so you get into those things, and so it marks that calendar year. And so what I want to do today is start with the Genesis and go through the whole Bible and look at Advent through all the scriptures, the whole scriptures. And the first one I want to go through is Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. Now, I'm going to put a twist on that. Because when I was in Bible school, we learned several different things. And one of the things that we learned, and I looked it up again last week, and you know, verified it again from other sources than just my teacher that I had in school. But in the second verse, it says, now the earth was formless. That word was can also be became. Now, if we put that in that translation, and it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth became formless and empty. It became that way. And the theologians, what they look at is that God created this world beautifully the first time. But Satan, when he was kicked out of heaven down to the earth, got down here, was so determined to mess up everything God's doing, just to destroy everything, that he just raised total havoc with the planet. And it became formless and empty. And so it became. So when we read in the scriptures the account that goes through creation, what we're reading is a recreation account. God created it. Satan messed it up. God recreated it, reorganized it. Let's put it that way. He didn't recreate it because it was there, but he reorganized it back into life. The other part of that, it says, darkness was over the face of the deep. Darkness was over the face of the deep. Remember that, okay? And so when we look at that and we think about it, who is the prince of darkness? Satan. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And it was a mess. It was a mess. And God looked at the mess that Satan had made, and he says in Genesis 1, 3, and 5, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Now you notice God said, let there be light, right? He didn't say, let there be darkness. Why not? It's already dark. Yeah, he's already dark. And when does God put the sun and the stars and the moon in place? Several verses later. What we have here is an account of Satan's influence and ours. And God separated them and said, let the light be called day and let the darkness be called light. And we have that in the situation. But you notice, God did not say, let there be darkness, because it was already there. But what kind of darkness are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the kind of darkness you see in John 8, where these men come bringing a woman caught in adultery to Jesus. They've got their stones in their hand, and they're wanting to put her to death. And they come to Jesus, and they say, "We've caught her in adultery. What should we do?" Jesus knew the law. The law said if you catch them in adultery, you got to stone them. Now, the man who was also involved in this is nowhere to be found, just the women, because Jesus, he championed women, and they didn't like that. But they bring her, and they say, you know, "What should we do?" And what does Jesus do? He knelt down. Now, I was going to kneel down, but I'd probably never get up. But he knelt down, and he started writing in the dust. And everybody speculates, what was he writing? Was he writing their names? Was he writing, "I know what you did last summer"? You know? Or he might have been writing what it says in Jeremiah 17:13. "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away from you will be written in the dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the Spirit of the living water." Why would that be? Because dust doesn't last. You know, you could write it in the dust and blow it away. It doesn't please. Now, we get our names written in the book of life, but not in the dust, because dust is easily gone away with. He's down there and he's doing this, and then he says what? "Let he who was without sin cast the first stone." I mean, they already brought their stones with them. They had them in hand, ready, just to get the word. And he says, "Let the one who's without sin cast the first stone." And what happens? They start dropping them, beginning with the oldest. Because the old guy has more chance of sin in his life. And he's not quite so arrogant. A little bit more about it, you know. He's like, "Well, you know, I know we're not going to live there." And Jesus says, "Where are they? Is nobody here to condemn you?" And she says, "No, not anyone." And what does he say? "Go your way and sin no more." Don't run out and get tangled up in this again. "Go your way, sin no more. But I don't condemn you either. I don't condemn you either." And so she goes away. And then if you can read on in John 8, it says in verse 12, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Whoever has me will not walk in darkness. Not that darkness that wants to stone a person caught. Because reality check, haven't we all done things? Yep, we have. But Jesus says, "Watch me. Watch me. See what I do. Listen to what I say. If you watch me and you listen and you follow my example, you're going to be in right standing with God." Now, don't get it wrong. He's not talking about works, because we're not saved by works. But when we get in, we are saved by grace, there are things we can do in our life that can make life better. And that's what he's saying. Watch me. I'll show you how to make life better. And Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world." But he also says that there's darkness. Because if you walk in me, you won't walk in that darkness. You won't get caught up in it. So it's that kind of a darkness that wants to take a woman and stone her to death. It's that kind of darkness that convicts an innocent man and sends him to the cross. That's what he does. John 1:4-5 says, "In him there was light, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." The darkness has not understood it. It can't. It can't. It's the darkness of Satan. It's there. It can't understand it. It's foolishness, and it's going to go on with there. But John goes on, and he tells us what it's going to be like. So we've just looked at Genesis. Now we're going to jump to Revelation, and John tells us what it's going to be like. It says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old things have passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these are trustworthy and true." So he's saying, it's going to be gone. Carrie Fisher's not going to die again. Debbie Reynolds is not going to die again. They're going to be resurrected. It's going to be new. There's not going to be any more cancer. I won't have to have a surgery. There's not going to be any of that. There's not going to be sexual abuse. There's not going to be physical abuse. There's not going to be any abuse of power. No war. He says that's what's going to happen. And we know that it will. But he goes on. In the very last chapter of Revelation 22, verse 5, it says, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. For the Lord God will give them light. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were with God, they had light. They had light. They were in God's presence. When Moses was in God's presence for an extended period of time, when he came back, he glowed. The last song we just sang says, let the light of your face shine on us. God's face shines. And God's face is in favor of us. And Advent is that season when we celebrate the light, but we also understand the reality of the darkness that is there. And so we celebrate that. We are expectant people. We expect things to happen. It says in Revelation, this is going to happen. We expect that. Jesus says, I'm coming back for you. We expect that. He gives us promises. Pay your tithing. I'll open the windows of heaven. We expect it. Go out and heal the sick. Do we do it? Well, we're working on it. You know? So I want to look at this thing in view of three lights. The first one I want to look at is the light of a candle. The light of a candle. Back 2,000 years ago, they didn't have the blessing of Edison. They didn't have it. Their day began at sun up. When the sun got up, what did they do? They went to work. They went to work. They worked. When the sun started going down, they went home because it was going to get dark. And when they got home, it was dark in the house because they had no windows. They had to have a candle. Now, how many of you ever been in a pitch black situation? About everybody. I was at one at the hospital. It was kind of a unique thing. Our department sits kind of in the middle. We have no windows. And it was the afternoon shift. It was about 10 o'clock at night. We were in the hospital, and they have emergency generators. The power goes out, you go 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, the light comes on. Well, I'm in the office, and the power goes out. Well, we have people on life support. I run those machines. So part of my responsibility is something like that happens, I got to hot foot it over there, check out the machine, and make sure that it came back online like it's supposed to and didn't get all messed up and the patient's not dying. And so I'm there in the department, and it goes, boom, and I go, 1,001. And we have these emergency lights that are plugged into the wall. So when the power goes out, the battery kicks into gear, lights it up, and gives you enough light to see to get around. Not like, you know, not like being in the room until the generators kick in. So I'm 1,001, 1,002. They didn't come on. The battery was dead. They hadn't checked it. I can't see a thing. It's pitch black. Can't see it. I know the department. I've been there before. So I go over there. I'm filling the desk. I'm going 1,002, 1,003, 1,004, 1,005, 1,006. The generators aren't coming on. I find the drawer. I grab the flashlight. I head out. My coworker happened to be over in intensive care. So he had it all taken care of. He's bagging the patient. You know, you see the bag. He's bagging the patient, keeping her alive. It's like, okay. But we just realized that Dr. Strigan's performing an open heart surgery downstairs. And it's like, ooh, okay. Well, the little lights in this room came on that, you know, gives the light, but it's not enough to operate by. And so we hot foot it down there with our flashlights, a whole bunch of us. He's the only patient down there. We ignore the sterile rule. We get outside the door, and we've got our flashlight, and we're shining them in the little dome that they use to put the light where they need it. And we're reassuring the family, everything's okay because we've got a little hand thing. We can keep the blood moving through the patient, keep them alive. We got the bag, we're squeezing, keep them alive. Wow. Surgery goes on. For half an hour, lights, flashlights, and then the power comes back on. We put them back on the life support machines and we're okay. And so we're in that way, you know, we're in that light. But it's scary. Especially when you've got to go do something and you can't see anything. And we're in that kind of a situation. And so 2,000 years ago, when it got dark, it was dark. Now, you didn't go any place unless you had a little lantern. And Joe, her family gave me that. There's a little candle down in there. But see, the thing about these candles, this is a cheap candle. It's an electric candle. Because they don't want my bottle to break and set the house on fire. So it's a cheap candle, but it's an idea. But even at that, it would put out about as much as a flame of a candle. Okay? Now these flames are pretty big, but if it got completely dark in here, it would be quite dark. And I don't know if Gary was here then or not, but sometime between 98 and 2001, we had a Christmas program. Christmas Eve program. We did it at 7 o'clock, and we used to do that. And we had some people here. We had the Christmas Eve program and so on and so forth, refreshments afterwards. We went home, and a couple of days later, it was church. Well, the night before Saturday night, the power went out, and it stayed out. And we got here the next day, and the power was still out. Now, how many of you think it's a little bit chilly in here? Okay, several of us. It was cold. It was really cold because the furnace wasn't working. We didn't have the stained glass windows, but we had a whole bunch of these little glass things with the candles that are about that big. We lined the window seals. We put them up above on the parts there. We had a baby grand piano. We put the hood down and we covered it with candles. The altar was covered with candles. I mean, every place we could stick a candle, we had a candle. It had a really nice warm glow to it. And you'd be surprised what lighting 100 candles can do. It warmed the place up. A little bit colder than it is now, but it was more comfortable. And we got to do that. We had light. Sometimes we expect that God's going to magically show us our future. How many of you had that happen? None of us. Reality is, God shows us most of the time our future in a footstep, the next best step to take. And it's illuminated by a candlelight, just enough to see it, maybe get a glimpse of what the next step might be. And we step out in faith. We step out in faith. And we step out in faith. And when we get into God's word, it gives us light. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word is that lamp that's showing us what to do. Jesus said back there, "Watch me, follow me." It's written out in the books. And it said, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet." And so we take a step in faith and trust. And then we take another step in faith and trust. And 2020 vision is always good because you look back and you can see perfectly how God's been guiding you, how God's been directing you. And hopefully we have the smarts enough to say, oh, okay, I see what's going on. And so in the Advent season, we look at the celebration of light, but we also look at the reality of darkness. In Psalms 119:30, it goes on to say, "The unfolding of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Talking about me. But it says, the unfolding of the word. They didn't have books back then like we have them. They were in scrolls, or sometimes they were folded, but they unfolded them, or they unrolled them, and it gives light. It shows us what we need to do. Even if it is by candlelight, we still get to see what's there. So we open God's word, and we see what's going on. Now, for many of us, especially like me, I get easily sidetracked. Oh, look, there's a bird. Yeah. oh, look, there's, yeah, squirrel. Yeah. I mean, I get sidetracked very easy, especially if it's visual. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I go online to look up something. And you know those little pop-ups over here? And pretty soon I'm watching implosion of buildings. Mm-hmm. How many of you watch those? And Scott says, there's 100 of those. I know. You know? I never watched, you know, Britain's Got Talent or any of that. But it was a pop-up one day, and I hit it, and I thought, wow, I like that. Okay. Way too many of those. So get maybe just too sidetracked. But maybe this is a time when, you know, beginning of the year, we reevaluate ourselves and say, okay, you know, what do I want to work on? More time in God's Word. Now, I don't read well. I don't like reading. So I listen to it a lot. I have the whole thing on CDs. Whenever I'm in, 99% of the time when I'm in my car, I have God's Word playing. Now, it's not as good as reading because you can't stop and think about it. Because it's like, what did he say? And it won't go back just 3 words in what he said, you know. But when God's guiding us, a lot of times it's like just finding the next step. The second light, though, is like that of stage lights. How many of you have ever been in a stage production and play? So you know what it is. When you get up there on the stage, 99.99% of the time, it's bright. Because they want the people to see what you're doing. They don't want you in the dark. Yeah, and then you can't see them either. I mean, you know, I was thinking about that, and I remember back when I was in church and in college, I was in several productions. When it's out there, you don't see. In fact, one of the productions was in the round, and it was so small. I mean, the room was a little bit bigger than this one, and we were right in this little area in the middle. And so at times, we're this far from the audience, and you're not supposed to see them. Because if you make eye contact with them, then what does it do? Yeah. Now, in this particular play that I was in, I had to stop and turn and talk to the audience wherever I chose. And I was working with a lady down in Payson, and she was there. And so afterwards I saw her, and I says, where were you sitting? She goes, right there in front of you. And it's like, oh. Those lights were there. But the reality is, most of us don't like to be seen that much. Do we really want people to look into our lives that deeply and go from there, you know? I mean, you know, admit it. We all have desires. We all have disappointments. You know, Joe talked about some of those. We have disappointments. And all of us have stuff that's a little bit darker. We don't want people looking at all that in that light. But like you said, God knows. God already knows everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done, everything you've ever thought. And has there ever been a time in your life when you've said something or you've done something that really isn't you? And you wonder, where the heck did that come from? Where did that come from? It comes from that darkness. But see, when we receive God's grace, that light shines on it. And that's what makes it so real and so meaningful. When you know that God shines the light on it and you see it for what it is and how bad it really is, and it gets to you. Not condemnation, conviction. That says, do you really know who you are? Do you really know who you are? Do you really know what I have in store for you? And it's there. 1 John 1:5-7 says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now, one thing I know, that when you have that conviction inside, that Jesus is there and the conviction is there, it's so much easier to look at other people and not be judgmental. Because when I look at Richard, I see this mirror going, yeah, think about it. You know, it's not there. And so it's easier to do that. If you sit in front of that light of Jesus and let it really shine on you and almost blind you to the love that's there, it changes you. It makes you different. In Matthew, I'm going to read two different translations here. Matthew 5, 14 and 16 says, you are the light of the world. This is talking to us. You, Jay, are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Each one of you, he's talking to you. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they see your good deeds and praise God. Praise your Father in heaven, that they see your good deeds. In the message, it says, here's another way to put it. We're here to be light, bringing out the God colors of the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you a light bearer, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a lampstand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. That's a command, isn't it? Shine. Quit being darkness. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Our actions prompt people to do the same. I was looking online and about a year and a half ago, U2 was performing at the United Center in Chicago. 20,000 people. They were there for several days. And they were down there, and Bono's singing away, you know, and most of the people know the songs. They're singing along with them and having a good time. And then they get to one section of the stage, and everybody's focusing on what Bono's doing. And I was telling these guys, I forgot my flashlight this morning, and I didn't borrow a light, but let me borrow that, would you? So anyway, they're singing along, and all of a sudden Bono pulls out a spotlight. And he starts shining it around the auditorium. Is that on? Yeah. Starts shining it around. Don't shine it at light in people's eyes. But he's shining it around the audience. And as he's shining it around, wherever he shined it, is that it? People went crazy. Oh, Bono sees me. Yeah, right. But he takes this. And here Bono is. He has all the attention. He has everything going on. And what does he do? He gives it away. He gives it away because everybody's quit watching him and they're watching where the light's going. Maybe he's going to come over here and shine on me. Maybe not. Right? But he's doing that and he's showing them what is to be. Now, I'm going to waddle back here and get me a flashlight. All right. Because I don't have one. I forgot to get one for myself. Now, how do you let your light shine? Well, stand up. Turn on your light. And the praise team is going to lead us in a song. It's going to be up on the screen. Yeah. Okay. Now, again, don't shine it in their light. And if you know what? If you want to rock out, feel free to set your flashlight down. Because this is such an enjoyable, fun song. Guess what it is? No, This Little Light of Mine. Okay? Karina, go. I want to clap.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
You sounded really good. Yeah, really good. All right, you can go ahead and sit down now. Okay? Yeah. But we start out with candlelight. We step into the light like a stage light, and then we become searchlights. Our job, our responsibility, is to not just plop our butt in this pew every week. It's to do something. It's to do something. Be a spotlight. Look at people and see the best in them. Because they may be just wallowing around in the darkness, struggling. But down inside somewhere, there's going to be a little light called your spirit. We all have them. We all have a measure of faith. And our responsibility is to get them to open up and let that light of theirs shine. But we got to let our light shine. So this is a year. Let your light shine. This is what our church is called? Sacred Light of Christ. This is the sacred light of Christ. I thought, we ought to give it the nickname, The Light. Yeah, because I thought about it. I thought, in California, we had Glory Tabernacle Metropolitan Community Church. Well, we had Long Beach. And then it became the Glory Tabernacle. Now it's just called the Tab.
Now it's the
Glory Tab?
The Glory Center.
The Glory Center. So, you know, but it's like, okay, but a lot of churches do that. And in Willow Creek, they call their members Creekers. Creekers. Huh? The old members, yeah. We creak along. Okay? But, you know, like again, God's asking, do you understand who you are? You got a light now. Look. Let it shine. Let it be something. Let it be all that God created it to be. Because, I mean, you know, we can go along the same as we're going. And there's a thing that says, you know, keep doing the same thing the same way, expect a different result. That's the definition of insanity. We are God's creation. God created us to shine. That's what that scripture said back here that I read. Now that you have it, shine. Quit being shy. Come out of your box. Let your light shine. I gave you a light so you can shine. Carry it with you to remind you so you have it. Heather got hers and she says, oh, good, I can use this at work every day. That's what it's for, to use, to remind, to be there, to let it shine, because you are light. That's the cool part about this. Is that doesn't say you're going to be. It says you are light. You are light. And the more we get into Jesus Christ, the more the darkness is pushed back. Does that mean that it's going to be easy? Heck no. That means that you're going to get more temptation and more trial and more crap thrown at you than you'd ever think about, because you step into being a threat to the darkness.
If we bind together, our light gets brighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? I love coming here. I mean, I can read the scriptures at home. I can pray at home. I can do all that stuff at home. But I like coming here on Sundays, even on the days I'm not talking. When most people take off and go away, you know, it's like, I'm here because I happen to like y'all. Well, most all, no. I happen to like y'all, and I spend it here. And it's like, I think about going someplace else. And it's like, no, I like the people that are here. I would love to see 30 or 40 more. And that needs to be one of our goals this year, is those people who walk in that door will come back, because our light's going to shine so bright they're going to want to be part of it. So this is a time of reevaluation, of looking and being honest, because a lot of times we're not. But what do we really want? What are we really going to do? Are we willing to let it shine? Are we willing to share it? Would you pray with me? Loving God, I thank you. I thank you for this new day of a new measurement of time that we call 2017. Lord, help us to let our light shine. Help us to introduce your light to people around us so that they can enjoy your presence as much as we do. And Lord, help us to enjoy your presence. Help us to take those things in our lives that would clutter it up and mess it up and make it hard and push them aside and recognize that they are just one of the tools that Satan uses to try to bring darkness into our lives. You know, Lord, we're stupid if we let him, because we have you. We have you to give us the strength. And on those days, Lord, when all we have is a candlelight and all we can see is that next step in front of us, help us to take it so we can see the next one. And then we can see the next one, and the light gets brighter. And pretty soon, Lord, we're running, because we got that beacon power in front of us, that stage power that lights up everything. And so, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your trust. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the light that you gave us. In Jesus' name, amen.